giving him a praise in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. They say like father, like son. Our pulpit as well, the back has fallen off. So, so I have the same challenge. My Bible and everything. So, well, you are a chip of the old block. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a powerful hand clap. Yeah. Amen. You can be seated in his mighty presence. Like he said, I'm very open. There's no hiding anything. Even that. Well, it's an honor and a privilege for me to be here this afternoon with you. And I feel very privileged to be associated with this ministry. You know, it is a great ministry indeed, and I'm not just saying this as a cliche. I'm saying this because you can actually see the signs of greatness. You know, it seems like a small church now, but it's got a big dream. You know, I was just, while I was sitting down here, I was thinking that if I lived in Milton Keynes and didn't pastor a church, I'd probably attend this church. Why? Because you can see signs of life. You know, when the baby is 1 or 2 years old, you can pretty well determine or discern what they will become in life. You know, I have a son that is 6, the other one is just about 3.5. And you can tell which one will be the businessman and which one is going to be the pastor. Yes. And so the same way, in the way they deal with you, when they give you something, one of them negotiates. The other one is very charitable. You know, and, you know, well, they are chips off the old block too, because I have both of them in me. Amen. But if you look at a church like this, you know, don't be fooled by the number of people sitting or not sitting next to you. You look at the vision of the church. If you see this kind of thing, good Lord, you know where they're going to. You hear the kind of music and the quality of the sound that comes in worship. More so, the worship team. In fact, we must invite you to our church. Well, I don't know if he will let you come on a Sunday. Yeah, that is the, but at least to one of our conferences, you know, and come and show them what stuff we're made of here. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a powerful hand clap. Amen. You know, and just even watching you guys and seeing the people here, the quality of people is a great sign to what this church is going to become. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When you see an acorn, always remember, don't be fooled by its size. One day it will become an oak tree. Hallelujah. My good friend is here, Ash Kotecha, and his lovely wife, and I think a child. Let's give them a hand clap. Amen. Don't you want to sit in front, Ash? Well, he loves his wife so much, he wants to stay near her. I would have done the same as well. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 openings with me. I'm excited in my spirit, but based on what Pastor Evidemi said, I don't know whether I should be, since I'm the one preaching. Hallelujah. We are turning to 2 openings. The first is Ephesians 5, verse 11. Ephesians 5, 11. And the second will be the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I was telling my personal assistant yesterday that I hadn't yet received a specific word. I knew the direction in which I was going. This was as at yesterday. But in the early hours of this morning, suddenly God shone light in my spirit. And you see, I've been in this business long enough to preach as a professional, which means I've preached enough sermons in my lifetime to be able to rehash one of the many. But you see, when you come to a church like this that is destined for great things, you have to be careful what you preach. You don't just preach a template, a pre-packaged message. You don't give them a McDonald's burger message. What you want to do is receive a direct word from God. And this morning, I received a prophetic word for this church. A very clear prophetic word. And I want to share with you this morning. It's simple, but I believe it is clear. This afternoon, we're going to turn in our Bibles in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start reading in verse 11. And we will also look at the book of Matthew chapter 13. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
If not, say ouch. Okay. Ephesians 5. Are you there? And he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Did you read that? But rather do what? Expose. Everybody say expose them. Everybody say expose them. For it is shameful even to what? Speak of those things which are done by them in what? Secret. Everybody say secret. So two words there. Expose and what? Secret. And then verse 13 says, but all things that are exposed are what? Made manifest. Everybody say to make manifest. By the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. For whatever does what? Makes manifest is light. I believe very strongly that this is a ministry that carries light. This is a ministry that is a light in a dark place. It is a lamp in a dark world. And if you look with me in the book of Matthew chapter 13, you will see why in particular you are light. And it says in Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read from verse 44. And he says, again, we're just reading verse 44. Again, the kingdom of God of heaven, this is Jesus speaking, is like treasure hidden in where? A field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and does what? Sells all that he has and buys that field. May the Lord bless the reading, but more so the doing of his word. The title of my message this morning is called, or this afternoon is called, This is Your Day of Discovery. But if you want a better title, we will call it Discovering God's Hidden Agenda. Discovering God's Hidden Agenda. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your hand upon my life. More so, we thank you for the destiny of this church and the people therein. We thank you for the DNA this ministry carries. It is one of greatness. And we pray by your spirit, even as your word is brought forth, that it shall come forth with prophetic precision, and it shall help locate people in their hidden places. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. This afternoon, I am quite confident that everybody sitting in this place today is meant to be here. And those who are not here were not meant to be here. Because what I'm about to share with you are some very simple thoughts, but I believe very, very, very strongly it will, as it were, position you and set you up for what God is about to do in your life. If you take heed, what am I saying this afternoon? Basically, simply put, God's purposes and best for humanity, I declare to you, are usually hidden. You see, God is an interesting God. And the kingdom that his son came to establish, or rather to proclaim, is one that he called himself a mystery. He says that the things of the kingdom of God are a mystery to those who are not part of it. The kingdom of God, he says, in different ways, when he describes it, he uses different illustrations. Why? Because it is quite difficult to grasp and understand with the natural mind. In fact, Paul puts it this way. He says that the things of God to the natural man are foolishness. And so, you see, when we talk about being Christians and coming to church, it is important that we do not get carried away by motivational speakers. Because you see, today in the Christian church, a lot of people are peddling success motivation in the place of the real gospel. And so I call it, as a medical doctor, placebo rather than the real thing. What am I saying to you? Basically, a lot of us preachers over time have been seduced and have shortchanged the people of God from what the kingdom really is. And today, I want to show you a little glimpse of what the kingdom is about, or what it is like. You see, the Bible says, even Paul says it again in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says that the kingdom is a mystery. He says that the kingdom is a mystery. And he says, when you talk about the word mystery, it means a hidden thing, something that is secret. And he says in that same chapter that if the powers of darkness had known, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Which basically means that in this kingdom, God has a hidden agenda. Which means that the powers of the world thought that they had gotten Jesus Christ and the King of Glory, and they had finished his kingdom, not knowing that hidden in that whole plot was the very secret of the kingdom. Now, I'm not about to share with you about the whole mystery of redemption, but what I'm trying to share with you this afternoon is the fact that God has reserved something for you which is hidden. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "Eye hath not seen, neither have ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men, those things which God has prepared for those who love him." But then it then says, "But God has revealed these things to us by what? His Spirit." Which means that the natural man, the man or woman who goes and makes decisions by the judgment of their natural eyes or by the judgment of what they hear, when they hear that, well, this is the kind of job that is bringing in money now. This is the part of this neighborhood that, as it were, property prices are going up. You will have capital growth in your house. This is the kind of business you can go to that will bring in profit. You see, such people in the kingdom are going by success motivation. They are going by natural interpretation of things. But the kingdom of God is such that it says here in the book of Matthew chapter 13, is one that a kingdom man, having heard all the supposed good news from natural men, that this is where the treasure is, that is where the treasure is, God himself reveals to them hidden treasure somewhere that nobody knows about. And when they discover this treasure, the Bible says that the treasure is so much more in value that they will go back and sell all the other properties, leave all the other jobs, and come back after selling that, taking the proceeds, and buy this kingdom that is not even yet manifest yet. You see, the kingdom man, listen to this, will do the kind of thing Pastor Ewedemi and his wife did, whereby they were asked to come and plant a church in Milton Keynes. They did not know anybody in Milton Keynes. They did not have any support. They didn't have anything. They sold their house in faith. They sold their house in faith, literally left in quotes their business and their professions in faith to a place where they did not even see a tangible future. And what did they leave all of that for? They left it to discover you. You didn't hear what I'm saying. They left it all to come to discover you. Because you are the hidden treasure. Oh, you don't hear me. When I came to start, when I was sent out to Stratford to start Trinity Chapel, or what was supposed to be Trinity Chapel, many of you might know the story. I was sent out with £250 and six people. And when I got to Stratford, I almost turned back because I thought, you must be crazy. You trained as a medical doctor. You had a thriving business back in your home country. What are you doing here with six people in this dilapidated, degenerate place? And you see, when I went, I drove through the streets of Stratford with Pastor Ewedemi in his car. Many of you know the story of his car that was impounded and then later on turned to big beans. I mean, to big bean tins. But we won't go that way. But you see, as I was driving through the streets of Stratford, and I decided that, man, this is not for me. I'm heading out. I'm going back to do plumb, going back to do the medical exams. This is crazy. God says there's a hidden kingdom here. You see, he says, you see these people walking these streets, they have treasure on this inside of them. You see these people in this place, these people are the people, it looks like a poor place, but you know what? This place will make you rich. And that is what the kingdom is about. Whereby other people don't see as you see. Other people come into this place, they say, this is a small church, nothing is happening here. I tell you, I am telling you with great conviction, if I were not a pastor of a church and I lived in this place, I would be here. Because I see hidden treasure in this place. If I had never started that church, Pastor Ewedemi would not be here today. If I never started that church and believed what I saw and sold my business, sold my car, left my profession, threw the stethoscope away to stay with £250 and six people that today have become 700 to 800 odd people, affecting nations, various parts in various parts of Europe and in Africa and in the United States of America, supporting missionaries in India, in Kenya, in Gambia, and various parts of the world, changing lives, shaping destinies. The kingdom of God is hidden. It is a secret thing, and only, as it were, spiritual men or women can discern it. What am I saying to you? The things of God are a mystery. The kingdom of God is hidden. The same way that you cannot find gold on the surface, you cannot find the kingdom by surface living. In order to discover gold, you have to dig for gold. You have to, as it were, prospect for oil in order to discover. There's no good thing that is found on the surface of the earth. No good thing can you find on the surface of the earth. That is why the scripture says that wisdom in the heart of a man is like deep waters, and it takes a man of understanding to draw it out. You see, what you need in life to put you over, I don't know what you're going through. I do not know, but you know what God knows. What you need in life to put you over is already with you. You don't need to go to the doctor. And if you want to, you should do. Please, I'm not saying you shouldn't do so until you discover the kingdom. You do not need to go, as it were, to a psychiatrist. You don't need to go to a lawyer. You don't need to go to an accountant. What you need in life to put you over is already on the what? Inside of you. It says wisdom is in the heart of a man. It's like what? Deep waters. But it takes a man of understanding to draw it out. Wisdom is what you need to put you over in life. If you can get the wisdom, you don't need the lawyer. If you can get the wisdom, you don't need the doctor. If you can get the wisdom, you don't need the healing evangelist. Why? Because the spirit of wisdom dwells on the inside of you. Are you here this afternoon? And what is it that you need to uncover this kingdom? You need light to uncover it. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 5 verse 8 to 10, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. It says, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, and she loses one coin, does not light a lamp. Touch somebody next to you and say, you need to light a lamp, light a lamp, light a lamp. What woman, having 10 coins and loses one, does not light a lamp. And then she says, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she does what? Finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors. I don't know about you, but if I was a member of this church, listen to this. I will tell my friends that I have found a hidden treasure and call all my friends and neighbors and say, come here. It looks small, but I will sell other lands and come and buy this one. She says, the Bible says that she took this lamp. She had 9 others, but she was searching all over the place, using her lamp, using the light, until she found it and she celebrated it. It is the same way that when God was looking for you, he turned on a lamp, as it were, and went into the hidden darkness of your life, into the muck of what you were involved in. And when he found you, he was excited and he told the angels. And that's why the Bible says that there is greater rejoicing over one sinner giving their lives in heaven than 99 others. There is something about you. There is something about you that excites God. There is something about you that makes God leave the 99 sheep to look for the one. You see, because there is hidden treasure on the inside of you. And many people don't know this. In Ephesians 5 verse 1, it says that I pray that you will receive or get the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which you have been called, and the immeasurable riches. One translation puts it this way, how rich you make God. Basically, we used to read it, when I read that scripture, I thought that, well, when I receive the light of God, it will show me how rich I am, but in reality, it should show you how rich you make God. Which means you are a treasure, you are a hidden treasure in God's hand. This afternoon, I want to decree and declare to you that God is out searching for you. And listen to this. He's not just searching for you as you are. He's also putting a searchlight in your heart. And you will see that in a few moments. You need a ministry that gives light. You need a ministry that gives light. The emblem or the symbol or the logo of our church is a flaming torch in a dark place, giving light to the city. The Bible says you do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel. But what do? You light it and put it on a lampstand for everyone to see. The same DNA and genetic coding this church has. This is a ministry that is, as it were, prophetic. You may say, is he a prophet? Well, I don't know. Perhaps he is, but I know that I have a prophetic calling. And guess what? The son of a prophet is what? A prophet. The daughter of a cat is what? A cat. The daughter of a dog is what? The son of a cow is what? So the son of a prophet is what? So if he served and trained under me for 7 years, the same prophetic unction will come on him. Those who served under Moses, the spirit of the prophet came upon them. And then Moses says, I wish all of God's children will be prophets. And so we see here that in this ministry, when you come under this ministry, if you are under this ministry, you will receive light for your life. And in a few moments, you will discover that light is what you need to put you over. If you are going through any situation right now, any kind of situation, just pray, God, enlighten my darkness. Enlighten my darkness. Help me find my silver coin. Help me find the wisdom that is hidden in deep places. Enlighten my darkness, O God. And the scripture says, the psalmist put it this way. He says, the entrance of the word, it gives light or brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Which means if you are in a ministry that truly has light, what will happen to you is that when the word comes forth like it's coming right now, suddenly the light will be turned on in your mind. Suddenly, the issues that you are dwelling with and grappling with in secret suddenly becomes open. And you will feel like somebody has been telling the pastor what you've been going through. Like as though your pastor has been opening your emails. And then that is when you know you are in the right ministry, because that is a ministry with the light of God. God is searching you out. God is searching your issues. You see, in 1 Corinthians 14, it actually says that, you see, when the unbeliever or the uninformed comes amongst you, when they hear the prophetic word, they will suddenly say that God is amongst you. You see, the sign that God is amongst the people is when you know that God is speaking. When the thoughts of your heart or the thoughts of the man's heart are revealed. That's the way he puts it. When we talk about the day of discovery, the day of the discovery is the day you step into the church or a church and the light begins to shine on you and you know that this pastor has your name and number. You want to sit tight in that church. You want to stay in that church. You want to hold tight. Why? Because the kingdom is proceeding from that house. You need light. The Bible says, like I quoted earlier in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, and thereon it says, after I had heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the brethren, he said, I have not ceased to pray for you. Why? I have not ceased to ask God for this for you, that God may grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. He says, good thing you've come to faith, good thing that you love the brethren, but you need one thing more. You need wisdom and you need revelation. You need light, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know what it means to have understanding? Simply put, I don't know Webster's definition of understanding, neither do I know Chambers's, or neither do I know that of Oxford. But one thing I know is that simply put, for a simple man or woman, the word understanding happens when suddenly you are listening to something and then you say, I see. Talk to somebody next to you and say, I see. Isn't that what happens? Your wife has been talking for the past 5 years about one thing, and suddenly the light then turns on and then the coin drops, and you say, I see. If you had seen earlier, 5 years earlier, your marriage would have been better. You will see clearly in your marriage. You will see clearly in your business. You will see clearly in your ministry. There is something that God is trying to tell you. There is something that God is trying to show you. And if only you had light and nothing was revealed to you, listen to this. Your situation will be different. Your situation will be different. That is why the scripture says in the book of Luke chapter 8 verse 16. Oh, I think we need to turn there. Luke chapter 8 verse 16. For sake of time, I'm trying to quote and, you know, just go ahead. But I think this is quite important. Luke 8, 16. Are you there? Okay, let's quickly read it for sake of time. It says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, touch somebody and say, your lamp is lit, your lamp is lit. If you are in this church right now, your lamp is lit. If you are sitting right here, your lamp is lit, I can assure you. And it says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, which means you want to declare to the people around, there is light here. Or puts it under the bed, but sets it on a what? Lampstand. It does good publicity that those who enter may see. Talk to somebody and say, I see. That those who enter may do what? See. All those who come into this church will begin to say, I see. Your friends that come to your house, when they see the kind of wisdom that God has given you, they'll say, I see. When they see where God has brought you from and where you are now, they'll begin to see, I see. And then he says, they enter may see the light, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed. Now, this is where I'm coming to. Nothing that is secret. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be what? Known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. What does taking heed or hearing have to do with light? In one breath, he's talking about light and the revelation of light. Then on the other, he says, now take heed what you hear. It means basically take heed where you go to church. Take it where you sit under or who you sit under. Because, you see, there's nothing that is hidden that will not be revealed at the appointed time. But, you see, there are some things you want revealed on this side of eternity. And not until you get to heaven. Some people say, when I get to heaven, I will ask Abraham why he did this. I will ask for, look, I want to start asking now and getting answers because I don't need to know those answers there. I need to know what they did then so I can live the kind of life they lived here. And see, so that's why the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the revealed things belong to who? Us, that we may do. So God has secret or hidden things, which is called the kingdom of God. He's got mysteries concerning you, but also he wants to reveal them. He says, surely the Lord God does nothing except he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. That's why you need a prophetic ministry. Because God is in the business of not, of, he hides himself, he hides things, but he wants to reveal them if you ask. And so you want to be in a ministry where you're asking questions, and then as you ask the questions, you come into the church and you get answers. And what is this light? What does it do? Some of you are getting excited already, but I want to, before you get too excited, let me tell you that light, especially the light of God, it is thorough. It is not a buffet menu. It is not pick what you like or choose what you want. Light is interesting. Recently, I had an experience. I had a visitation from God. I told my church, and I preached a certain message that till now is shaking the church. It's called Building Sandcastles. And he talks about the fact that we build futile kingdoms. Empires of men, things that will not last. And I began to share and expose certain challenges that I went through in my own life. You see, like he said, you see, what you see here, to be honest with you, I can't hide things. I cannot hide things. What I went through in my personal life, I shared with the rest of the church. And God said, put it on television. It's not only the good things that you should show. Show my dealings with you in the person. Show how you escape temptation. But you see, let them know that temptation comes. Show how you go through tests. Why? Because a lot of preachers are looking too pretty and too pristine. And they're not helping anybody. They are just telling us how to live and how to, but they don't tell us how they live. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Here, we are talking about the fact that when this light comes, I had a visitation while I was sleeping, light came upon me. And in the breath of a moment, I woke up and I received strength and grace. I could feel the embrace of God so strong. And in that one moment, I was supposed to be preaching on Sunday, 3 days, 3 days to go. And I already had my message prepared. And hear me, my message. I thought it was God's message. Yes, it is God's message because I'm still going to preach it in a few weeks. But then God brought a message of urgency. And in moments, listen to this, I did not have to think about this message. In moments, a whole message came. I quickly wrote it down because the message came faster than I could write. And within 5 minutes, I had a whole message with potent points. But not only did the message come to me, it came to search me. The light came and shone on my heart and told me that a storm is coming and it will shake many. And when that storm comes, if you do not get yourself ready, it will shake you and your foundations. And when the light came, as I was there and then, I felt like as though I was a sinner. Why? Because this very message I was going to share was judging me right now. Because when the light of God comes, it doesn't just come as a message for the people, it comes as a message to you first. Because Paul says, take heed unto yourself and then also to your hearers. What am I trying to say to you? When the light comes, it comes in two ways primarily. The first is that it comes as a searchlight. It comes as a searchlight. And it comes to search, basically, first of all, the hidden treasures and the gifts and the potentials and the secret things that God has put on the inside of you. It comes to show you the treasure of the kingdom. It comes to show you the treasure in your heart. It comes to show you possibilities. It comes to show you opportunities. It comes to show you a little David in the backside of the desert, a shepherd boy. It comes to reveal the king in the kid. And then you begin to understand that your life is more than where you are right now. It begins to show you who you really are, what you can really do, and what you really have. It's a light of promise. But the second thing that the searchlight does, like I said, not only does it show you the good things, it also shows you the weaknesses, the cracks in your vessels. It shows you the issues where you will fall into sin if you do not take heed. It shows you where you are messing up already that he sees in secret, but you don't let other people know about it. And you put on this facade that looks like you have it all together. That light is a searchlight. It's coming to show you the things that are your assets and the things that will make you a liability. It shows you your strengths and your weaknesses. It shows you your hidden faults. But then secondly, another kind of light then comes. You see, and if you don't take it with the first light is a warning. The first light is, let's deal with these things in secret. The first light is, come, develop these potentials. This, you know, polish this treasure. How many of you know treasure things don't come in their complete state? You know, when gold comes out of the earth, it is dark and unattractive. Somebody was holding a dark rock the other day, you know, and somebody said, do you know that is 18 karat gold? He said, no way. He said, it's just a rock. And you see, when you don't understand, when you don't have light, you will take a gold rock and use it to stone birds. If you do not know what a diamond looks like in its raw state, you will use it, as it were, to break things. If you do not know the kind of treasure you have and develop it, you will make a mess of it. What am I saying to you today? God will show you what you have and that very thing that will make you great. But he will also show you the liabilities you have and the very thing that will make you small. The Bible says that an adulterous woman, when you yield to her, it says he will make a great man like a crumb of bread. And he shows you where your weaknesses are. But the second thing, the second light that comes, and this light is come again to reveal God's hidden agenda to you and for you, is the spotlight. Oh God, may God help us, those of us in the spotlight. May God help the, please pray for those of us in the spotlight. Why? Because we did not know how soon the spotlight will come. Many of you should thank God for your small places and where you are in your hidden places. Because you see, when your secret issues, when your dirty linen is put out in the open, listen to this right now, only a few people will be hurt by it. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, and your workmates. But if you are on a platform whereby you are preaching to potential millions by television, and you are in the public eye, and you are no longer a private citizen, and the moment an investigation is done on you, listen to this, that God already knew about and had been warning you about, and you are put in the public light, the same spotlight that exposed you and manifest you and your glory will also manifest your shame. What am I trying to say to you? You need a ministry that gives light. And that ministry, when the word is coming forth, listen to this, it will make you glad, then sad, then mad. It will excite you. But it will, you see, any ministry that just excites you week by week is the wrong one. The right one will show you who you really are and what you are like in secret. And then it will let you know that, listen to this, if you don't get this together, what I'm revealing to you in secret right now will soon become open. God is in the lighting business. That is why the Bible says, where there is no revelation, we reduce it to just vision, as in the vision for the future. No, where there is no revelation, revelation has to do with light. Where there is no searching, the people perish and they cast off restraint or live like they like. Where there is no revelation from God, the people live anyhow. And that is why in Eli's generation, the Bible says, and when the light of God was about to be turned out in the tabernacle, when the eyes were dim, his eyes were so dim and he was so insensitive to God that his sons were living in immorality and stealing the church's money. But then the Bible says, and then God spoke to Samuel. God is raising a Samuel generation. And this church is a part of it. In Samuel's time, light came. Light came that the Bible says that when Samuel spoke, light came to the whole of Israel. This ministry will give light to the whole of Milton Keynes. This ministry will give light to your life. This ministry will search the deeper things of God concerning your life. It will search out the hidden things in the recesses that right now they look like lizards, but in the next few years, if they are allowed to grow, they will become alligators. Do you know that Satan was a serpent in Genesis, but he became a dragon in Revelation? The things you don't deal with when they are small, they will be the things that will kill you when they become big. Samuel was the same man when Saul had lost his donkeys. The Bible says that they said, oh, let us go. There is a seed. They wanted to give up on searching, but they said that there is a seer somewhere, and we hear is an honorable man of God. Let us go and find out. He said, but we don't have any offering. And some of you, that's why you stopped coming to church. And still now, you are even still very, very suspicious. Say, well, with all these scandals around, even all these small churches, you see the way they're going. What are they? Where did they get all this money from? It is money that you didn't give that they used. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so they were reticent. They were going to say, this prophet wants our money. But you see, when you go to that kind of ministry, you find out you get more from them than they get from you. And so when they got there, they had lost the donkeys. You know what? Before they got there, God has spoken to the man of God. The Bible says a day before. Oh God, we need prophetic ministries. We need ministries where people walk in, and when they walk in, the pastor says that God showed me your face in a vision. And he said to tell you this, that this and this will happen to you, and that will happen to you. That is real ministry. Success motivation can't get anybody anywhere. It's 10 steps, 3 steps, there's a giant in you. Everybody say, "Wah! Yakata, yakata." And then you walk through fire. Rubbish. You just have burnt feet at the end of the day. That's all. It doesn't take you anywhere. And you go and pay £500 for nothing. We need a prophetic ministry. We need a prophetic ministry. We need light in our darkness. And that same ministry will not only help you find your lost donkeys, not only help you find your lost husband, not only help you find your lost brother or sister, will not just help you find your lost finances or restore your lost health, but will also help you find your lost destiny. Amen. Why? Because Samuel said to them, he said that your donkey has been found. Don't worry, don't be anxious. But also, God said to tell you that you are no longer a shepherd, he's going to make you king. Hallelujah. You see, when you come into a real ministry that has light, he will reveal who you really are. That brings me to the business of the day as I begin to do justice to time. Basically, when you come to ministry of this sort, and to keep within my time, because that's what real ministry does. When you're invited in your own church, you can take liberties. I haven't overstepped time. I haven't. Where was I? Real ministry will help you discover who you really are. You see, there's no point coming to church and all you do is sing nice songs. And you come to church and all you do is they come and make you happy. You see, I want to know who I really am. And the truth of the matter is that most of us don't know who we really are. The life we are living is what our parents said we will be. The life we are living is we are trying to live life to make up for what other people said we are. You know, the clothes you are wearing, you are trying to match up to somebody else's expectation of you. You know, your whole lifestyle, the way your house is arranged, you are trying to live like Elizabeth Taylor when you are nowhere near there. The clothes, all the designer clothes, we are trying to live up to some kind of image. We don't know who we really are. You are not what your parents said you are, because they don't have all the information. You are not what your friends think you are. One man put it this way, and I put it in my book, "So Who Do You Really Think You Are?" Selwyn Hughes. He says, "I am not what I think I am. Neither am I what you think I am. But I am what I think you think I am." You didn't get that. It takes some people about 3 months to get it. You need light. Let me try again. But pick up the book and you'll get the whole revelation. I am not what I think I am. You're listening to me right now. And I think perhaps maybe I'm doing pretty well. But you see, your judgment might be different. So I'm not necessarily what I think I am. But also, I am not what she thinks I am. Because she might be thinking in her own mind that I'm doing even better than I think I'm doing. And so my estimation, by her own standard, I've judged myself short of it. But you know what? All that I do right here, my whole performance and my whole ministry, is, to be honest with you, is really confined and molded by what I think you are thinking. Because if I am doing very well, and I think that you think I am awful and you want me off this stage, it's affecting me. Oh, you didn't hear me. You see, and that is how we live our whole lives. You see, we live our lives. Oh, some people are just getting in the corner because about 5 minutes later they're just, okay. So we live our whole lives thinking that this is what our parents think we are. Let me drive it home for you. When my son was 4 years old, we were driving in the car, and he suddenly said, while I was driving, he said, "Dad, I know why you love me." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I always do good things. Because I always ask good questions." Now, some of you might think that's a good one. It was so bad, I had to stop the car and turn back. Now, my son is very perceptive, and he had heard me tell somebody that my son is awesome. You know, he's always asking great questions. So in his own little mind, the mind of a four-year-old, he's processed it and said, come up with this conclusion, that his father likes him because, or loves him because, he's good at asking questions. And I said, "Son, take that thought out of your mind." I said, "If you ask bad questions, I love you. If you ask no questions, I love you. If you are the question yourself, I still love you." Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, it was important for me to do that for that boy. Why? Because he's 4. If I did not change that notion, when he's 40, he will keep thinking that. And it will affect him. And anywhere he goes to, you think he must ask good questions to be loved. He must be good to be loved. But you see, many of us were never, as it were, light was never revealed in that hidden thing that the enemy sowed in our lives. Hence, we are living our lives as compulsive people, pursuing success, and we are always trying to look good, and we are not happy, we are stressed. What am I saying to you today? Today, you need to discover who you really are. There is somebody God made you to be. I only discovered that person recently. And I only discovered that person even after I wrote the book. But the book tells you about my struggles, which you struggle with. And it begins to tell you about the secret to discovering those things. Let me put it to you this way. You see, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh, you see, basically, it's saying that you could be a human being. We know you are a human being. But if you think you are a dog, you are a dog. Oh, you don't know. There are some people in the psychiatric home barking around like a dog right now. There are some people, I'm a doctor, I've seen people who thought they were Bill Clinton. Making executive decisions. But they were tied and they were restrained. We know he's a madman, he thinks he's Bill Clinton, but you know what? He's Bill Clinton to him. You can't take it from them. The same way, if you think you are poor, you are poor. No matter how wealthy your God is, until you receive light. Until you receive light. The same way, a man who thinks he's a woman walking around like this, hello, my name is Jennifer. He looks like a man to us. But you know what? There's no way you can convince him he's a woman. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But then the Bible says that you are living below who you really are. Because it says in Psalm 82 verse 5, it says, they do not know, neither do they understand. The whole foundations of the world is unstable. They walk around in darkness. I say you are gods. You are sons of the Most High, but you shall die like mere men. That's what it says. It says that, listen to this, that really God made you in his own class and in his own species. But you know what? You are living like a mere man and you think you are living. But you see, until you discover who you really are, you have never really lived life. You have never really lived life. There's a story I share over and over again, and it's a story of an eaglet, that a mother died. The eagle, the big eagle died. Now, eagles don't give birth to more, they don't lay more than 2 eggs at a time, in their lifetime, actually. And this one only laid 1 egg, died, and it was there in the forest. And this farmer found this eagle and took the eagle and took it home with him. And he had this pen, a poultry of hens and chickens, and then began to, as it were, feed this eagle like a chicken and treat this eagle like a chicken. And the eagle ate chicken food, or the eaglet ate chicken food. It walked like a chicken, talked like a chicken, did quack, 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 like a chicken. And, you know, scuffled around like a chicken. And many of you know that chickens, when they fly, they don't go beyond this height. And this eagle that had the potential of flying 33,000 feet could only go up 3 feet at a time. Why? Because what you are exposed to molds you. Your exposure in life will determine what you will become. And this chicken had been exposed, or this eagle truly was a chicken, had been exposed to chicken life, and did not know what eagles did. Now, I will tell you that regardless of the fact that it was genetically made as a chicken, it had been psychologically modified. Sorry, as an eagle, it has been psychologically modified into a chicken. So it's not just about genetic modification, there's psychological modification. And you see, chickens or eagles were not made for cages. Eagles were not made for cages. They were made to soar. Lions were not made for zoos. They were made to roar and dominate the jungle. Fishes were not made for aquariums. They were meant to swim in the ocean. But the container that you find yourself in will regulate your life. It is said that when a 2-inch or a 1-inch shark is put in an aquarium that is 10 feet long, it stays that size. But if you take that same shark a few weeks later and you throw it into a big ocean, it becomes about 10 feet long. You are not who you think you are. There's a greater one on the inside of you. And I've just talked to you about the man. I'm speaking from basically this book, 21 Ways to Mind Your Own Business. Somebody saw that book and told his wife. He said, 21 ways to mind your own business. He said, I think you will need this book. It will bless you. It's not that kind of book. Where was that? Before the time runs out on me. It's talking about the mission. I just talked about the man. This book talks about 21 M's on how to, as it were, accomplish your mission in life. I just talked about the man. Now, your mission in life. You see, the ego, I got this from him. You know, you learn from your sons. It's actually in the flyer. The ego has not started living until it discovers its flight. The ego cannot say it has lived yet until it starts flying. So this ego or this eaglet that has been taken and groomed as a chicken, listen to this, in all honesty, what is it? Come on, when it gets to the heavens of the eagle's heaven and it enters, you think it will be treated like any other eagle? You never flew? You mean you only operated at three feet? You mean you didn't see the eagle's sight? The viewpoint of that the eagle renews its youth like an eagle. That, you know, it lives for 50 years and then it dies like a chicken after 6 months. They have it for Christmas. So you mean you only live for 1 year? When eagles live for 40 years, good Lord, get back to earth. Get back to earth and relive. The same way, if you never discover who you are, you will never live to your limit. You will never live within your mission. And so, if you are a fish, why are you trying to fly? Or if you're an eagle, why are you trying to swim? The point is this, listen to this. You see, life circumstances many times tries to provoke what is really on the inside of us. Do you know how an eaglet learns to fly? Time will not permit me, but it comes to a stage in its life where the mother eagle starts to shake its nest. It says, you've been eating and feeding for too long. It's now time to go out and show your own muscles. And so what it does is that it throws the eaglet out of the cage from so high, throws it down from about 15,000 feet and lets it drop and comes into a crisis situation. And when it's about to hit the ground, it goes there and picks it up by the nape of the neck, pulls it up again. And that little eaglet looks back and says, this mother is trying to kill me. But suddenly what it does is that as it is dropped, one moment the eagle or the mother eagle goes in front of it and begins to flap his wings to show, look with your eyes, like mother, like daughter, like father, like son. You have wings too. You can fly. So in the middle of a crisis, when God puts you in a crisis situation, he's trying to tell you who you really are and what you can really do. When you are in a situation where you seem like you're going to drown, he says, look at me, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You can walk on water. You are not an ordinary man. You are made in the form and in the likeness of God. And there are certain situations you are going through right now that God has sent to reveal the real you. What am I about to say or close with? Basically, your mission in life, you can only discover it by sitting down and asking God for light. Today, I believe I have provoked you in many senses, but it's only the beginning of the provocation. You have a lifetime to discover yourself. And for the rest of your life, I want you to say to yourself, I will not die a chicken. If there's an eagle on the inside of me. I will not die a shepherd. There's a king on the inside of me. I will not die a mere man. There is a little G-O-D, God, on the inside of me. God made you for supernatural exploits. God made you to do the invincible. On my way here, you know, I was sharing with some, let me not go ahead of myself. In this book, in the chapter on missions, it talks about 10 indicators to your mission. Natural indicators, it talks about what is your dominant gift. It talks about what things did you dream of doing when you were young. Not like Pastor Wade. This will never teach you how to sing if you can't sing. It will tell you to fly if you have wings. It will show you how to swim if you have fins. Okay? And then it tells you, asks you basically certain questions. What do you spend most of your money on? Those are what you call natural indicators. It also has what you call natural indicators. Natural basically has to do with the environment you were brought up in. What kind of education did you have? What were your experiences in life? What exposure did you have? You know, basically, what are the things that you grew up in? If you were a Moses, you were probably brought up in the palace of Pharaoh to learn government, administration, and organization, statesmanship. Why? Because God was bringing him out to bring him in, to bring out a people, to turn a people who were not a people into a nation. How many of you know? Many of you do not know that the reason why Moses was able to write the Ten Commandments and the laws of Israel is because Egypt had laws. And the Jews were a family before they went into Israel. They did not know. Families don't write laws. In your family, do you have ten commandments? Thou shalt not eat the father's piece of meat. No, there's no such thing. You know, but basically, Moses learned those things from there. You know, and then he tells you, very lastly, about the supernatural indicators, which is the most powerful and the most important. That in the light of all those, the natural, all those must submit to the supernatural. Which means, what is the prophetic word that God gave to you? What is the dream or the vision that God showed you concerning your life? What the way God met Paul on the way to Damascus and said to him that you are no longer Saul, you are Paul. I have called you to bring light to the Gentiles and also to open blind eyes. Basically, I am saying to you, you should live beyond the level that you are at now. God has greater plans for you. Let's stand up and pray. Well, I finished 5 minutes before my appointed time. That's a beginning. But I want to spend the next 5 minutes asking you to begin to contemplate the things that you've heard. I want you to, in a sense, shut your eyes and stand before God. I've said and shared quite a number of things, but most importantly, the most dominant thought I want you to hold in your mind is that God is light. God is light. God is light, which means he knows you. There is nothing hidden from his sight. He knows your issues. He knows where you are right now. He knows what you have. He knows what you can do. And when you walk with God, like the Bible says in Ephesians 5, it says, that which manifests or exposes is light. God wants to manifest you. He wants to manifest the investment he's put in you. You might be somewhere right now, you feel that nobody knows about you. You've just been in the backside. You know, you've been doing, you know, you have many things to offer this world. But I want to declare to you that your time is coming. If you walk long enough with God, God will manifest you. But I want to say that the reason why God has hidden you is because there are things that if you are made manifest, will expose you and bring shame and disgrace. And God is wanting you to deal with those things in secret while you are in your small places. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to just begin to declare right now that the Spirit of God is here. On my way here, the Lord began to speak to me as I was praying that there's somebody here that he wants to use greatly and mightily. Greatly and mightily. But right now, they are caught up in a sexual affair with somebody that is not their wife. There's also somebody here at the same time who is a lady and is doing the same thing. The Lord says that his heart is not to expose people. But today he's brought me to you to show you that he reveals secret things. And today, God is speaking to you and saying, change your ways, make amends. Change your ways, make amends. Change your ways. In fact, just right now, I got a clear word saying that those two people are married to each other. They're married to themselves. And the Lord is saying that, well, you may ask, should I tell my husband, should I tell my wife? I will say, wait until God says to tell you. Wait until God says to do so. And he will give you the grace to come through it, and he will establish that marriage upon the rock. There's somebody here who is about to throw in the towel and give up. Give up totally and completely on a particular business or project that they're involved in. And the Lord says, stick it out. Stay there. That business has a hidden treasure on the inside of it. And the same way that people dig for gold, as they are digging, they could meet frustration because all they are seeing is mud and soil, that very soon you will hit the gold. There's somebody here who has a particular disease in your body. I believe they say you have fibroids. God is shining his light on it right now. I want you to put your hands by your side right now. Actually, lift up your hands and just give him thanks. Just give him thanks. Just give him thanks. Just give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him praise. Now put down your hand and put your hands by your side. Now, the particular person with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're that lady, put up your hands right now. I want to pray with you. Okay, just stand up and let somebody, let's stand up right now, please. Father, Lord, we just ask you right now to let your hand rest heavily upon her. Let your hand rest heavily upon her. And let your healing virtue flow from the top of her head down to the sole of her feet. Right now, Lord, let your healing power shine its light. Shine its light and dissolve that ailment right now in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you the praise. And we thank you for what you're about to do in this ministry. If you are a member of this church and you serve in this ministry, you're a member of this church, I want you to put up your hands very quickly. You're a member of this church. Come forward very quickly. If you're a member of this church, I want to say one last prayer and then close and I'll be off. Come very quickly, please. Hallelujah. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus His Son, give, and now let the weak say, I am strong. Oh, let the poor sing, let the poor sing, I am weak. Because of what the Lord has done. Somebody here who has been asking questions, is this the place? Is this the place? Is this the place? You know yourself. The Lord said to tell you. Now, it's not everybody. There's somebody here who's been delivered. And just recently, just to confirm, you will know that's the place because today, as the man of God was speaking, it spoke to your situation. When I say spoke to your situation, you know that it was like as though something was revealed to this man in secret. God says, stay in the right place. And as you stay in that land and sow in that land, you will reap in the same year 100-fold. There's also a word for every single person here. I feel the Lord saying strongly that He's going to multiply you 1,000 times more. The word is this. It is, He says that one of you shall become 1,000. One of you shall become 1,000. You see, there are people here who will, as it were, feed nations. Amen. There are people here who will, as it were, finance kingdom projects. Right now, you don't have anything. But you see, Pastor Awedemi is a prophetic sign But when he came to the ministry, to our church, when he started with me, he literally had nothing. He was doing nothing. But see him today, his business, his family, his whole life, this church is only the beginning of great things to come. Amen. And the same anointing on the head will come upon every single person here present. I want to implore you and encourage you. You may seem like as though you are hitting a rock right now, but if you keep at it, you will discover gold. Amen. Your hidden treasure is where God has planted you. I want you to lift up your hands. The presence and the power of God is here. Lord, release a different flavor of your anointing upon this house right now. The anointing for kingship. This is the king's court. Lord, let the king's anointing come upon this once. Let the king's anointing come upon this once. Let the anointing bring out the king and the shepherd in them. Oh Lord, those who have tended sheep until now, begin to show them and reveal the way to the palace. Lord God, I ask by your spirit, reveal a grace for discovery, discovery. Let light shine in the dark places of their hearts. Begin to call up wisdom, oh God, for their situation. Wisdom. Oh Lord, we ask that people will begin to find out who they really are, what they really have, and what they really can do as they sit under the teaching of this ministry. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, oh God, for a fresh anointing, for fresh dew from heaven. We pray, oh God, for a newness of life. There are people here, there are people in this place that have had bad pasts they want to bury behind. But Father, Lord, don't just bury it. Bring it up. Heal it. Heal it, oh God. Heal it, oh God. Heal it. Heal it. And then begin to do a new work. Restore foundations. The Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous can call upon God, the God who can change foundations and rebuild them. Oh, yes. God says he will rebuild your foundations. He will heal your past. He will heal your wounds. Oh, we bless you, God. We thank you for what you are doing in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's give the Lord a powerful hand clap as we go back to our seat. Oh, yes. 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 Shanda kabalarata sata kataba. Os kalaranda sitebranda siteba. Be loosed in the name of Jesus.
Say, let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. We give thanks.
In the same vein and in the same flow of the anointing, the presence of God is here. I want to take advantage of that. I've not been asked to do this, but I want to take an offering right now for this ministry. You see, the Bible says, if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 9, bring my Bible, please. The Bible talks about a man called Saul and the servant of his father. They were sent to look for their father's donkeys. If you have a Bible, turn there, please. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. They were sent to look for their father's donkey, for his father's donkey. And on their way there, when they could not find the donkey, they began to contemplate amongst themselves and deliberate. And it says in verse 6, and he said to him, look now, there is in this city, in the city of Milton Keynes, a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there to that church. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Then he says, then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring to the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? And the servant answered Saul again and said, look, I have here at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way. We're not saying that ministry is about paying for a prophecy. But we are saying that like the culture in Israel, you don't come before the presence of God or before a man of God empty-handed. You see, If you come to a ministry like this and you hear a word of God like this that is confirmed with signs, what you want to do is that, God, I want to tie in into this anointing. The Bible says that if you give as little as a cup of water to a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. Which means it doesn't matter how much you give, how little or how much, God sees your heart and sees the sacrifice. If they had turned back and said, well, we don't have any money, or we don't have any money to give, we're not going, Saul would have remained a shepherd for life. But he went to the man of God, gave them the quarter of a shekel, and he received much more. He was taken to a feast and he was given the best part of that feast. His donkey was found and he was told that he's no longer a shepherd. He's going to be the king of Israel. If you sow into this ministry, you will get much more out of it. The seed will give you, leave your hand, but it will not leave your life. The seed will speak for you at the gates. The speak will provoke heaven to respond to your prayers, like that of Cornelius. I want you to write out your check. If you're writing it out, what do you write it in? King's Court Chapel or KCC? King's Court Chapel. King's Court Chapel. Remember, you are not just giving a tip or just an ordinary offering. You are sowing a seed into this ministry. You are sowing something, a seed, into this ministry. You are provoking something from heaven. You are releasing something that will come back to you. And as we do that, God will honor you. I'll be out there for a few moments. I have a meeting afterwards. After Pastor Wade closes the service, I'll be signing my book, So Who Do You Really Think You Are? 21 Ways to Mind Your Own Business. And I have some magazines. Can you show me, bring the magazines, which I publish? They're quarterly magazines. And I believe they will bless you. If you know T.D. Jakes, that's the next edition. If you know of John Maxwell, or you know of Dr. Miles Monroe, or you know of Bishop Oyedepo, and the rest, Bishop John Francis, we profile them in there. And it's not a religious magazine. It also profiles different career and business professionals, government ministers, politicians, and the likes. And you won't regret either subscribing or picking up a copy. God bless you, and thank you for the opportunity.